Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the midst of the busyness, the stresses, and the pressures of our daily lives, with all the work and the chores and the cares and concerns that we have that so often seem to pile on top of each other, very often all that we're looking for is just some time to get some good rest. And as we just heard in our gospel reading today, that's exactly what Jesus had planned for himself and for his disciples. A time to get away from the busyness of the crowds, just to get some rest. The disciples, as we had mentioned, had just returned from a short mission trip that Jesus had sent them on, where they'd been teaching the word of God, calling people to repentance, proclaiming the good news that the kingdom of God is near, healing those who are sick, casting out demons from those who were possessed by demons, all by the power that God had given them. And now after that certainly very busy period of time, hard work, as exhilarating as it must have been for them to see those miraculous displays of God's power working through them, yet Jesus' invitation to them to get away and to get some rest together with him must have been very welcome to them indeed. But as we read, that plan didn't turn out as they had hoped it would. When Jesus and his disciples reached that other part along the shore of the Sea of Galilee that they were heading to, they found that a great crowd of people had already beaten them on foot to that place where they were heading. That crowd of people desperately wanted to see Jesus, to have him heal them of their sickness and disease, and to listen to his important teaching. They weren't really thinking about his and his disciples' rest, but about their own needs and cares and concerns. But we also seek rest in the midst of the busyness and the demands, the confusion of our daily lives. Sometimes, whether we say it aloud or not, or at least just think it in our minds, when people are encroaching upon our time of rest and recuperation, we just feel like, God, just leave me alone. I've done enough. I'm all worn out. I can't do one more thing right now. Let me get some rest. Parents, maybe you often have that feeling. But so often in life, plans change. Often those plans are changed as a result of needs that arise from those who are nearest and dearest to us. As we're called on to deal with important matters of things that have come up in relationships, responsibilities that we have, and just all of the realities of life and everything that we are involved with in our lives. Even when we don't feel like getting up and taking care of what needs to be done, so often, even in the midst of our planned times of rest, we have to do just that. We're called to respond. Even when we would much rather just be sitting back and doing nothing at all. Well, let's look to Jesus to see how he dealt with that situation in his life. We read that when Jesus got out of the boat, after he and his disciples had gone on to that different place along the shoreline of the Sea of Galilee, he saw a large crowd already assembled there waiting for him. But Jesus didn't just see, as we so often see, just a crowd of people, nameless and faceless people, people who really have no connection to us. Jesus is true God, and so he knew each and every one of the people in that crowd. He knew all of their names, he knew all of their life situations, all of the cares and concerns that were weighing upon their hearts. What do we see when we look so often at the people in our lives around us? Well, very often we only see what we want to see. So often we seem to overlook the most obvious truths about ourselves and about other people around us. We become pretty good at whether we think about it or we don't think about it, at just kind of filtering out things that aren't really convenient for us, things that might challenge our preconceived notions, things that might move us to make a sacrifice that we don't feel we are capable of making, that we feel might be too costly for us, things that might challenge our own inflated view or opinion of ourselves. We have this internal drive, it comes from our sinful nature, to see only what we want to see. And that affects not only ourselves, but also our relationships with other people in our lives. We can work right next to other people. We can live together with other people, interact face to face with people, and yet still sometimes fail to see what is most important to them, what is most significant, what is needed in their lives. A teacher, for example, might see a certain problematic student, primarily see them as a nuisance and just focus on all the trouble that they cause in the classroom, but fail to see or to think about the profound need that student has for love and for understanding, that need that lies beneath that exterior of his or her external behavior. We may at times see our spouse or our employer as an antagonist or a foe rather than a partner or a friend. We might fail to see the eternal truth that person, just as each and every person, just as each of us are loved by God, our Heavenly Father, precious in His sight. We may see the poor and oppressed in our communities around us as perhaps in some way deserving of the affliction and the challenges that they are facing and undergoing. We might forget that we also are in constant need of God's grace and mercy in our lives as well. So when Jesus looked, he saw more than just a great crowd of people demanding his attention and his time and energy. He saw people in their need, in their own individual situations in life. And so instead of getting right back on the boat and going to a still farther, more distant place, perhaps on the very opposite side of the Sea of Galilee, where the people couldn't possibly hope to get to on foot in a short period of time, instead Jesus stayed there. He stood there in the midst of the crowd. He would, yes, take time later to rest with his disciples and to teach and address the disciples' needs privately. But that time was not the time for that. Jesus knew that the needs of that crowd of people were too great. And so seeing their great need, Jesus responded to their needs. Those people, just like you and me, just like everyone on this earth, are precious to our Savior. And so we read in verse 34 that Jesus' heart went out to them. He was moved with compassion for them. He felt a deep, loving concern for each and every one of them in that crowd. What had they done to earn or to deserve that love and care and compassion from Jesus? Absolutely nothing. In fact, they were crowding around Jesus on that day, that he had planned as a day for rest for himself and for his disciples. For many of us, if we think about a situation like that happening in our lives, if somebody interrupted our vacation day or some other time that we had planned for rest or relaxation with our families, that all by itself would be the only reason we need to refuse to interact with or to care about whatever was going on. But Jesus does care. He's moved with compassion because he saw that those people were like sheep without a shepherd. And sheep without a shepherd, just like sinners without a Savior, are lost if they're left by themselves. Jesus saw that the people had no focus in their lives, no dedication, no protection for their bodies or souls. They were unable to find food, and as we'll see, Next Sunday, Jesus miraculously provided for that physical need for them to have food for their bodies, but more importantly, they had no hope for their souls because their religion of that day had been emptied of the good news of God's love and forgiveness and salvation. They had no one to lead them through the doubt or despair, the fear of frustration, or the pressures or pain that they faced in their daily lives. Like all people, they would have been lost in sin and guilt without the knowledge of their Savior and His forgiveness and salvation. As we read in our first lesson today from Jeremiah chapter 23, Jesus knew that the appointed shepherds of those people, the Jewish religious leaders, had instead of caring for them as God's flock, instead had scattered the flock of God's people. Instead of taking care of them with the pure word of God, they had instead substituted their own legalistic rules and requirements, turning God's promises of love into a religion of works righteousness. But now all that is changed. Now is the time that God's promised Savior had come. The time that God had promised through Jeremiah in those words of prophecy is now at hand. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has now come to gather back together those scattered sheep of God's people, to bring them back to their pasture, as we sang in Psalm 23, the pasture where God feeds us is His pure word, which nourishes our souls and strengthens us unto eternal life with Him. That good news of His love, His full and free salvation, and forgiveness for all of our sins, only through the work of Jesus, not by our own work or effort. Jesus' motivation to care for that crowd of people and all of their needs rose from a deep feeling of love and concern that He had in the very depths of His heart for each and every one of them. As God tells us in His word, He, God, is love, and Jesus is God. And so as God, Jesus was filled and moved by compassion for those people. Compassion that extends to everyone walking on this earth who is stumbling through the challenges and difficulties and pain and pressures of life, and especially all of us who are burdened by sin and guilt. And as we see, Jesus' compassion was not just a feeling that He had, but it resulted in action towards that crowd of people. It wasn't merely just an expression that He shared with them, I love you, I care about you, but His inner feeling expressed itself in His outward visible actions. And as we see in the gospel books, that throughout the whole earthly life and ministry of Jesus, we see that again and again, Jesus' love, compassion, and care in action. Jesus taught the people about the good news that He is their Savior from sin. He healed them from their diseases, cast out demons from those who were possessed. And in some cases, as we see in the Gospels, He literally calmed the storms that were threatening their very lives. But most importantly of all, He reveals Himself as their God and Savior. He proclaims the good news of the kingdom of God with authority and power because He is God and Savior. But as we think about those acts of compassion that Jesus performed, the miracles of healing, of miraculously feeding thousands of people from just a small amount of food, of showing His power over the raging forces of nature by calming storms and stilling the wind and the waves. Yet we know that Jesus' ultimate act of compassion and mercy was His death, His suffering and death, the blood that He shed upon the cross. It would have been unthinkable for Him to shepherd His sheep through the dangers of life, only to abandon them in the darkest, gravest hour as they face death, uncertain about the fate afterwards because of the burden of sin and guilt. No, as Jesus said in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He's not like the hired hand who does not own or love or care for the sheep, who runs away at the first sign of danger. Well, the shepherd gives up his own life to save the lives of the sheep who are his, whom he loves. And so we see that Jesus' compassion goes to that ultimate extreme of sacrificing himself for the good of those he loves. And his great compassion, his love and care and concern for us, Jesus took our sin, our guilt, the punishment that those sins of ours deserved, he took that all upon himself. He bore it through that excruciating, painful death into the finality of the grave. And then on the third day, we see the testimony of God the Father testifying to us publicly that he has fully accepted that payment of Jesus in place of all of our sins. God proved that to us. He demonstrated that to us by raising Jesus from the dead on the third day. And so today, we stand in the presence of Jesus just as that crowd of people did almost 2,000 years ago. Our needs are, in so many ways, are very similar to their needs. Certainly, our spiritual needs are the same. We all stumble and fall in our attempts to find our own way through this confusing and challenging world and everything it presents. We are burdened with fears, just like people at that time were. Our faith is so often weak, just like the people of that time. We have sinned just like them. We cannot save ourselves just as they could not. But our Savior sees us in the midst of our great need. We are no longer sheep without a shepherd. Rather, the great shepherd of our souls has sacrificed himself to save us. He has forgiven all of our sins. He has brought us into the family of our Heavenly Father. We are now in Christ and receive all the fullness of the blessings that he has won for us. Through our baptism, we have been united with him. We are united with him now and will be united with him for eternal life in heaven as he has promised to us. And our Savior, our great Good Shepherd, now calls on us to see the people in our lives around us, our brother and sister, parent and child, friend and enemy alike, all as people whom he dearly loves, people for whom he gave up his life and shed his own life's blood. So pray for Jesus to give you eyes to see with compassion just as Jesus saw. May God bless you with that ability to look closely, to truly pay attention with care and concern and compassion to the people around you, to see what's important and significant for them and their lives, to see what they need and how you might be able to help and address that need. May God give you the grace to be able to look past external appearances or behavior, to look past any possible unpleasantness that you may see, and to see instead that soul that Jesus loves and for which he died. Jesus sees in every person someone worth dying for. By God's grace, we can also see the presence of Jesus in each and every person we interact with. Just as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, "Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." May God give us the grace to go and do just that. Amen.